This is a replay of the Tuesday night, November 25th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that is from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. In the first hour, I'm going to spend with Del Stecker. Yeah, one of the highlights of my summer, truly, was the release of Boardwalk Blues, which is Del's latest novel. And if you go to Raleigh.net, R-O-L-L-Y-E.net, there is a link directly to Amazon where you can get a copy, and I think you're going to want to. So, Del, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes, likewise. You know, I knew you were from Chicago, not only because I was aware of it, but certainly from all your writings, where it was clearly that of an insider. But when I read Boardwalk Blues, I thought to myself, man, this sounds like somebody who grew up on the Jersey Shore. So, first question is, what was it that enticed you to write about the Jersey Shore?
I go to the Jersey Shore two or three times a year. My favorite place is Ocean City, which is right across the inlet from Atlantic City.
Right.
So I spend a lot of time in both places. And if you know anything about those two places, they're very, very different. Both have boardwalks, but in one community is community-oriented, no booze, no taverns, no nothing. And then you've got across 12 miles away, you've got gambling and vice and all of the, Steve Buscemi did a whole series on it, you know, Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, absolutely.
It was different than day and night. So I thought I was inspired by Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah.
And I did a Tale of Two Boardwalks.
And you did, and it was great. Yeah, I was thinking when I was reading about Ocean City, Margate is probably closer to Ocean City in feel than it is Atlantic City. Atlantic City is really an island unto itself in many ways, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, ebbs and flows, but I think the commonality through the decades is that in some ways it has always had a seedy underside.
Yeah, and when you go there today, and now I don't want to disparage Atlantic City because it's far nicer than it was 20, 30 years ago. There's a distinct difference between it and Ocean City.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, wouldn't that be a great background setting for, you know, a tale of crime and, you know, hidden identity, somebody like Jimmy, who is kind of burned out and wants to leave one and goes hide in the other. So, and then he's sucked back in.
He sure is. And of course, Jersey Shore Jimmy is a disc jockey, like you say, a burned out disc jockey, former disc jockey. And I had to laugh because there were so many people who I could have seen in that role. And I was wondering, did you pattern him after anybody?
No, I didn't want to face a lawsuit, you know.
Well, a lot of them are dead.
Yeah. I just, like most of my writing, I get an inspiration, and And when a character is there, I just let them do their thing. And, I'm fortunate enough that I have characters that take on a life of their own. And sometimes they actually, in the middle of the night, tell me what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And I'm just, the scribe is writing down the action. I didn't have anyone in particular in mind, but I'm glad you say that it's real enough that maybe a couple people could be.
Oh, yeah. No, there were definitely a few people I thought it might be an amalgamation of. So it was just terrific that way. And I don't want to give away the ending, but I think we're not going to hear more from Jersey Shore Jimmy. And I'm very upset about that. I feel like I've lost a friend.
Well, I wanted the story to move quickly, have up and downs, a lot of plot, a lot of characters.
Yeah.
And then the end just happened, and I was surprised too.
But, it's interesting because there are a lot of plot twists. But again, I could see it all happening there. None of it was a surprise. It was just a terrific read. I loved it. And again, of course, when we last talked, we were talking about the South Side. And, of course, Chicago, your hometown, it comes naturally. But there had to be a lot of research into Boardwalk Blues.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time. I particularly wanted to flavor it with, and it's your realm, music, the influence of music. There's sometimes you put a line or two in there, and it may take a lot of research and thought. I get a plug in there for Southside Johnny and people that are part of the music scene, and it really means a lot to me to be able to drop them in and do that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's great. I was going to say,
you
made Jimmy come alive in such a way. He was actually an album-oriented jock who normally I would never give a second thought to, but I liked him, and I love the way he quit. So it's just a terrific, terrific book that way. So Boardwalk Blues, it's been out. I got my copy on August 1st, as far as that goes. How's it been doing? What are you hearing?
Oh, it's like every book that I look back on in my career. I'm a late-in-life writer, working mostly with small press. I've been fortunate to get great reviews on everything I write, but the sad fact is that the number of readers is not increasing, which means reading is going down because, if it's a static number in a growing population, reading is just not as popular as it once was, and bookstores have disappeared.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
so,
it was interesting you're saying that, because normally you'd think that bookstores disappeared because of distribution, because there's Amazon and there's things online and all that. But what you're saying is that readership is down. That's a horrifying figure to me, because to me, life wouldn't be worth living without reading. I mean, it's a very big part of my life, and I don't want a Kindle or anything like that. I want to read the printed page. And to think that this is becoming less popular by the day is truly horrifying.
Yeah, as a writer, I'm not saying this just because, it's what I do, but in my lifetime, the importance of reading has gone down, the ability, comprehension levels, all of that is just going down, down, down. And, if you say something about it, I could be accused of being a grumpy old man, but facts are facts. My favorite anecdote about that is, and I'm not going to say the person, but there was a young person who said, when we're talking about books and reading, you go, "Oh, I've read a book once," and I mean, seriously, they were proud of that they'd read one book. And, I come from a time and place when you read a book a day. I was addicted to reading young, and I'm with you. I can't see a world without them.
No.
And I, too, love, and I don't use Kindle. I'm happy if people buy my books on Kindle, but I like to touch and feel.
Just truly horrifying, because reading, a lot like radio, involves so much theater of the mind that, you know, the writer sets the tone, but then the reader really embellishes it with what they see in the mind's eye. And like I say, it's just, I think it's stunning that that people don't want to do this anymore. And I instinctively know that you are right about that. And it's horrifying. It explains to some extent why we see some of the pablum we do in video or television, because the idea of developing a plot and carrying somebody through it that way, that seems to be less and less.
Yeah, I think from my point of view as a writer, I try to craft something that, it's interesting, great characters, action, all that kind of stuff. But I hope that the person reading is engaged enough to start thinking along with me and even outthinking me and saying, you know, boy, I was surprised it went this way because I thought it was going to go that way.
Right.
You know, it's a mind game for minds that really work. You know, I can't imagine what it'd be like. I'm not a video person. I don't do video games, but I see these people have those visors on and they sit there and, you know, they're happy with stuff being shoved in their brain. And, you know, I think it's more fun to have in your brain, think things around and, you know, make things come out.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're talking to Del Stecher, and Boardwalk Blues is truly a delight. Again, I've got a link on Raleigh.net to Amazon, and it is absolutely worth it. We're going to talk about a number of other things, but one thing I had said to Del is I said, sure, pick your own bumpers. And we've got three this hour, and we'll play the first one in moments, and Del will tell us why he picked it on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, a lot of royalty on that, of course, originally from the 1964 album the Beach Boys put out, and Beach Boys certainly doing the background vocals on that, and featured out front is Lori Morgan, who is somewhat of country royalty as far as that goes, certainly not only by her own hits, but by way of her father, George Morgan, who was the last guy to sing at the Ryman Orchestra, the Ryman Opry House before they moved to Opryland, and the first guy to sing at Opryland, and then he died shortly thereafter. All right, but we're talking to Del Stecher, who picked that out as his first bumper, and I got to ask, why?
Okay, do I get to make pretend I'm the DJ now?
And you do anything you want.
Okay, I spent a lot of my adult life in Nashville. In the summer of 1996, I was involved very heavily in the effort to move the Country Music Hall of Fame from Music Row downtown to its present location.
Uh-huh.
That summer, the Beach Boys came into town, and they did medleys with country stars. They did Willie. I think they introduced Kathy Tricoli, and the best one they did was with Lori Morgan. And all I can say is it's the perfect blend of the Beach Boys, you know, surf music, which I learned to surf as a kid. After I left Chicago, I went to Vero Beach, Florida, and then it ties in with country music. and it's just a beautiful song, and it's Americana. So I love it. If anybody's got free time, go and do YouTube and watch the video. It's just really fantastic.
Yeah, the whole album is good. Stars and Stripes, Volume 1, and a lot of different people, like you say, on it. And I was aware of it because a good friend of mine, Henry Strzelecki, who wrote Long Tall Texan, and made some money off of it. So that was pretty good, and I picked up a copy. And Willie Nelson sounded good on that, too, which is some doing, and the Beach Boys responsible.
Yeah, and that summer I was working, and I was up to my ears in the music industry, and I couldn't break away and, sit in the back of some of those sessions and look in and do things like that. I just always loved that. The Beach Boys did a great job on that.
They did. They did. And it's really interesting because, as you probably know, Brian Wilson first wanted to do a country album in 1970. And I think he had a working title, Cows in the Pasture. It never got released. And it was sort of a joke. And for years, it was a joke. The guy who was managing him at the time was a big country fan. And so, you know, here it is over 25 years later that they actually do one. And it was the last studio album that had Carl Wilson on it. And it is a good album and not all that well known comparatively.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize country music and the Beach Boys went well together because it's harmonies. You know, there's so much good harmonies in the Beach Boys music and, of course, in country music.
Yeah.
So it's like it was hand in glove. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and so there you go with Laurie Morgan, whose name was Loretta Lynn Morgan, and she wasn't named after Loretta Lynn. So at least that's what George said to his dying day. So I don't know, but that's terrific. All right, well, now for our next bumper, and I'll tell you about this now because I want to ask you. You wanted to hear the Dells' "Stay in My Corner," but there's actually two renditions of that. The first one came out in 65 on VJ, and the second one came out on 68 in Cadet, and they're two different recordings. So which was the one that floated your boat?
I like the 68 because I believe that Johnny Carter's on that one.
Yep.
He wasn't with the Dells in the first one.
Okay. All right. So then it's going to be the 68 version that we will play right after the news. Then we want to get into your current project, which is just fascinating. So all that and more, and I'm hogging Dell, but if you have any questions or comments or would like to get in the action, the number to dial is 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh, right here on WGN Radio.
You stay, darling.
Stay in my corner.
You'll make me oh so proud. Stay, darling.
Stay in my corner.
To the world I'd cry how I love you, honey, I love you, I really love you. Stay, please, stay, darling.
WGN. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, that is, of course, Johnny Carter with that wonderful falsetto and Marvin Jr. lead baritone. And, of course, you could hear Vern Allison and Chuck Barksdale and Mickey McGill. Just a great lineup. Behind the scenes, Jane Jamerson was on bass on that. And the interesting thing is the female voices you're hearing are actually a couple of the Andantes, Motown's house singers, Jackie Hicks and Marlene Barrow. I think Pat Lewis was on that also. And as far as drums, one of them was Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire. So good choice. You know, that when that came out in 68, it was interesting because that single was 6 minutes and 11 seconds long. And you loved it.
It's worth every second.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, there had to be a radio edit. You knew that was coming, but even so, you know, just tremendously. And it was Wade Flemons who co-wrote that with Barrett Strong. So it probably was their biggest selling record. In fact, not probably, it was their biggest selling record. But the Dells are one of those groups that been around since 1950, and there were so many things in the 50s that were woulda, coulda, shouldas that just never got the attention they should have. So it was great in 68 when that came out. So you have a new project. Tell me about it.
Well, it was inspired by some ill health and an incident that happened. And my editor, publisher, read something that I wrote about my, what I call a not-so-near-death experience.
Yes.
And said, you know, maybe it's time to write a memoir. And honestly, I don't think my life is all about me. it's the people that have touched me, and I've touched them, and, you know, crossed paths. So I decided to write short stories, vignettes, just little bits and pieces about interesting people. Some are famous, some are just only known to me. And that's what I'm doing. I'm working on it. And I shared one. Maybe you wouldn't be embarrassed to know that you're one of them.
That's so nice of you. No, I absolutely appreciate it, and I loved it. Anything you want to say, you say, is fine by me. So I can't wait to read it, because I think that there'll be a lot of people, like you say, some of whom I'll know, some of whom I will not, that I'll get to know through what you're going to write about them. Any intended publication date?
I'm hoping to finish this sometime around January, February, and, you know, if it all works out, it'll be sometime in the spring or, you know, early summer. It all depends.
Right.
I'm a firm believer that, like Charles Bukowski tells writers, you don't try. You just have to let it come.
Yeah.
And, I'm about 3/4 of the way through, and, it's every one of the stories is either somebody that's very recognizable, or else there's a very interesting twist and a nice backstory about how I know them or what they've done for me, or, you know, it's all positive stuff except for one.
Ooh.
And,
are you willing to reveal that one?
If I do, am I spoiling? Because
no, I don't know. I don't know. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I'm buying it either way. But
I'll tell you what I do. But privately, I'll send you an email. Let you know.
All right. And I promise not to share. I promise not to share it, and that'll be the deal there. But I'm very intrigued. Near death experience. How near were you?
Well, I had the good fortune or bad fortune. I had a flutter valve for about 4 or 5 days, and I had congestion and all. I went to the emergency room, and I had congestive heart failure. And they worked on me for about a day, and they decided, we're going to move you from ICU down to a regular room. And right as they were about to do that, I was talking to the nurse, and I said, I don't feel good. And then I got a real major heart attack right there while I was sitting on the corner of the bed.
Oh, my God.
In the ICU, which was great because, you know, walking right past the door at the time was the head of respiratory therapy. And the nurse grabbed him, and about 5 or 6 people worked on me. And I didn't have to go to the ER or any place. I was on the bed right there in the room. And 11 hours later, I was conscious again. And I will share with you privately. I'll send you a copy of what I wrote and what instigated it. But it changed my life. all for the better. I think I've always been spiritually inclined and all, but when I'll send it to you, Raleigh, but it's very impactful and powerful. It was enough for a publisher to say, wow, this is the kickstart for why don't you write things like this for things. And to get back to the little vignette about you, you know, we've known each other 20 years.
Yeah.
But we've never physically met face-to-face, you know, and I think... That's a statement about friendship and involvement and touching lives and all. And, you know, I've always been a big fan. I'm tickled pink that you're in my life, but I wanted you to be one of the stories I wrote about.
Oh, that's so nice. But, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. I would say most of my close friends I either never met or maybe saw once, twice, three times. For whatever reason, it does seem to be more, you know, more about talking to them on the phone, writing to them, things like that, than face-to-face. So that's not unusual for me. And I feel you're as close a friend as if you were living next door. It just isn't
well,
that,
that's
factor.
Nice.
Yeah, but I got to ask you, Mike. Might not want to share it completely, but did you have a classic near-death experience? Did you go to the other side?
No, actually, that's why I call it a not-so-near-death.
Okay.
Because if there's a twist to it. When I send it to you, you'll like it. Maybe you'll have me on again. We'll just talk about that.
Okay.
But, it's very different. That's why I said it's not-so-near-death. It's truly... it's a short thing I wrote, but it was so, I don't know, it's just, it was real, it was impactful, it was life-changing, and my life, I've always had a wonderful, good life, and look at, you know, I've met you and other people and things I've done, but this really turned me, you know, as I'm approaching, you know, the last years of my life, I'm 75 now, I'm not going to last forever, but it really... gave a kickstart again to my writing, you know.
That's great.
I'm grateful for it. You know, I really am.
So. Excellent. We're talking to Del Stecher. Yeah. Boardwalk Blues is the book, and I've got a link at raleigh.net. I suggest you read it. I think you'll like it. I hope you read, but if you do at all, you'll want to read this. And yes, Del and I met because he listened to me on the radio, and radio is important. Bottom line, you know where we're going with this, the C. Crane Company. If you're a radio fan, then you probably know all about Bob Crane, but somehow if you missed him, many years ago, the 80s, when radio reception was just terrible in the radios that were being sold at the time, Bob said, I can do better than this, and he did. Now, since then, the C. Crane Company has developed into just not only great products, but a great resource for radio, and the commonality for everything is the radios just have better reception. And, you know, one of them, the CC Radio 2E, which I keep by my bedside, is just tremendous. In fact, I always say the litmus test is take an old radio that barely picks up some distant station, tune in, then put the CC Radio 2E next to it, tune in, and it'll sell itself. But not only will you pick it up, and it's got that twin coil ferrite on AM and great long-range FM reception as well, but great audio quality as well, and you can adjust it however you want. It's got all the bells and whistles and the presets and the clock and the timer, the alarm, little dial light, all that. But what it really has is the kind of reception that will bring radio listening back to what it was when you loved it. You will again. And it's rarely available at a sale price, but right now, today and tomorrow, it's only through Wednesday, you save $25 if you mention my name. That's Raleigh. You can do it by phone if you want to order by phone. They'll answer all your questions, and they are in the good old USA, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, man, go there, ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Take a look at the CC Radio 2E, and I think you'll be as impressed as I am. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Sunlight to moonlight, reflections of my life.
things of people in trouble. Reflection of my life.
Oh, how they fill my eyes.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Marmalade, if you remember that, from the fall of 1969. In the U.S., it came out on London. Top 10 record nationally here, too, Billboard and Cashbox. However, in Ireland, it was number two, and that was Dell's third choice. So why? What about the record?
That was an anthem for we soldiers that served during the Vietnam era, and it's just a wonderful song to reflect upon life and, you know, going home.
Yeah. All right. Well, yes. And you don't hear it much anymore either. That's one of the things, you rarely hear it in regular rotation anywhere. So so nice to play that again. Again, a little longer. It was over 4 minutes long. So some of the top 40 stations were like, oh, we got to edit this. But nice stuff. All right. We talked about your near NDE for a moment, but that reminded me, and again, we've talked about this off the air, but you've faced a number of challenges, and it was you who really encouraged us to seek out neuroacupuncture. So tell me about how you happened on that.
Well, about 7-8 years ago, I had a stroke, and there was damage on my left side, and I had a lot of pain in my left foot, tingling and pain in my left hand, and it just wouldn't go away. And my wife read about and suggested, why don't we try acupuncture, which I did. And over a short period of time, I was improved. And I went back a second time, and it got better and better. And just recently, I had another MRI of my brain for another reason, but the original stroke spot is almost impossible for them to find. They're amazed, like, you know, I've healed, and acupuncture works. And in China, if you have any kind of stroke or problem, they put you on acupuncture immediately. But allopathic Western medicine just closes their eyes and ears when it comes to Chinese medicine. But I'm a firm believer in it. And after my heart situation last year, my acupuncturist did some work on me, and my recovery was very quick and complete.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So how long was it between your stroke and when you first tried acupuncture?
About a year.
Okay.
And I would suggest to anybody that, you know, the Chinese, if, like, you know, if you're 10 minutes after your stroke is over, they start on you.
Right.
You know, and as I was telling a friend, you know, the Chinese culture has been there for 4,000 years, and they've been sticking needles in people, and just by trial and error and anecdotal responses, they have kept track of what works.
Well, it is amazing, because we took your advice. It took me 2 years for John, after the stroke, finally said, yes, I'll try it, because the bottom line was, like you say, the pain in the foot, the tingling and all that, it really wasn't abating. And he went, and we've been going now almost a year, and it is different. I mean, I'm looking forward to the point when he can, you know, say, hey, completely don't feel it anymore. We're nowhere near that yet, but it's amazing how well it works.
One of the things that really was amazing was, at one point, my acupuncturist was working on my right lower leg and foot, and I said, "What are you doing over there? It's over on the other side." She said, "Hey, it's all connected." And darn if she wasn't right, because it worked.
Yeah.
So I'm a big advocate for it.
Right.
I really am.
And I don't really see any downside to it, too, if anybody is listening and considering it. I have not heard anything that would cause me to say, oh, well, you better watch out for this. You know, probably the worst that happened is you just not improve. But everyone that I've read about has been improved. And it's fascinating to me how well it works. Now, the tingling, yeah, John had that. The pain in your left foot. With John, it feels like he's in a vise, like it's just squeezing nonstop. Did you get that sensation?
I had a little bit of pressure and all that, but every so often what I had was, it was like an electric shock.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's like I just put my toe in a socket or something, and that would happen. And the pain on my left hand was more just a tingling, pins and needles,
right.
Just constant. And that was worse than anything because it was just there all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right, all the time. And, yeah, John has that on the left side. Plus, he also has it on his nose. So, and you're right. For people who don't have this, they don't realize how distracting this can be when it's just constantly there. So that's a great testimony. I didn't want to let you leave without that because hopefully somebody will pick up on that because it really is a miracle and you're still with us. And in closing, you love music, and I know it. Well, this time of year, every year we vote on the world's worst hit records, and we open the polls on Halloween because it's a night of horrors, and we close them and play the records back, not all of them, on Thanksgiving, a night of turkeys. So with that in mind, if you had to nominate something, what do you hate?
And people are going to be upset with me.
That's okay.
That stupid, that little drummer song thing, the drummer boy thing.
Okay.
I try to go a season without hearing it once because if I do, it's one of those worms in my head. I can't get rid of it. It drives me crazy. I didn't like it when it came out years and years ago. I try to avoid it, but that to me is the worst possible thing to hear at the holidays.
Oh, that's great. The Harry Simeon Chorale. And every time I heard them announce that, I was hoping they'd do Simeon as in apes because I'd like to see that video. But Yeah, but you're right. You're not going to escape it somewhere. You'll be in Walmart or something, and there it'll be, whether you want it to be or not. So that's a fine addition to the list. Consider it counted. And yes, I do want to take you up on talking again after I read what you sent. Can't wait to see it, and can't wait to hear more about the next project and everybody who's going to be included. So, Del, thank you for joining us.
Okay. At break time, I just sent you 2 emails. Go look at them, okay?
I'll do it. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So good deal. Del Stecker, Boardwalk Blues is the latest. If you go to Raleigh.net, there is a link to Amazon. And I would suggest the first thing I did when Del said my book's out, I went and bought it. And great purchase. Loved it. So that's where we'll be next hour. Maybe we'll pick up on more of the world's worst hit records because, of course, the voting only today and tomorrow. Tomorrow night when the show is over, the voting ends. And then I tabulate all day while you're eating your turkeys. And then while the evening progresses, we'll be live, and I always say playing them back, but don't worry, you won't have to hear more than a couple notes of any of them. That would be the absolute worst thing. We ask what your least favorite records are, the things you hate, and then we play them. No, we're not going to do that. All right, so all that and more coming up, another 2 hours of this right here on WGN Radio.
Romantic homicide horror, plus your cash ain't nothing but trash and bear market on Grant Marshall 2020 News. Pop star panic. A chart-topping crooner crashes into a chilling calamity as investigators insist a man in the Hollywood Hills had help hacking, hauling, and hiding a teenage girl's body found festering in the trunk of his impounded Tesla. Detectives say the remains were so rotten, so reeking, so revolting, they triggered a full-throttle felony probe. And the singer, D4VD, pronounced David, whose hit is called Romantic Homicide, is reportedly stonewalling the sleuth searching for the truth. Fans who once swooned are now stunned, spooked, and sickened by the sinister saga. From viral verses to very grim verdicts, this chart climber may be headed for a hard fall. Stool Britannia, a blighter preyed of pale whales, scary old England. The Brits are bowled over by a heaping pile of trash dumped illegally not far from Oxford University. Criminal gangs kept on and carried on dumping industrial quantities of garbage. The mountain of muck so monstrous it stenches the length of three Olympic-sized swimming pools 2 stories high. You can see this Mount Everest from space, but curiously, until recently, few locals paid attention. Now it will take royal riches to rid this rural ruin of rancid rubbish. Baird Whitless. Wasn't very fuzzy, was he? An 11-year-old boy comes face to race with a big black bear at a family holler store in Backwoods, Pennsylvania. The kid runs inside, but the beast barrels after him like Mental Ben. Screaming child jumps behind the checkout area, but the bad news bear went over the counter too, to see what he could eat. Pee-wee peels off just before becoming Grizzly's grub, knowing he's this close to becoming bear meat. A rife lesson. Sometimes you beat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
James, of course, those are the Delphonics. You betcha. And it was Natalie in New Jersey who said, play anything by the Delphonics, and happy to do that. I like them all, actually. I think my all-time favorite, which is rare for me, is the big hit Lala Means I Love You. But I thought Ready or Not, hadn't heard that in a little while, so 1968 on Philly Groove, and I hope that Natalie liked it. All right, so 888-876-5593 is going to take us to Tubby in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Wow. Riley.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your boy, your husband.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the first thing.
You too will be here live playing the world's worst hits.
These weren't the worst ones, though, that you've been playing, correct?
Oh, No. The worst ones are whatever is voted upon, and it's a cumulative total, and I won't reveal until Thanksgiving night, and we won't play much of them, I guarantee you.
You jamming the night, honey. What can I say?
Well, good.
And it's so nice. You know, I just want to say the first thing, sanity. Your show brings sanity back to the world, I'm telling you. The first thing I want to share with you is how awful it's going to be. The American pastime, when the Ricketts bought the Cubs, okay? And this seems out of the thing, but they had a show on. And, I mean, it's been escalating. It reminds me of the 1880s when I was telling you this. Just like, it's like super greed. Greed. And this whole thing about TVs, and now it's getting to the point where you got to have a certain type of TV anyway. God wasn't messing with me. He knew what he was doing when he broke my TV, because the next level you have to have, it's not just going from, you know, the old TVs to the flat screen, but you have to have certain types of TVs to pick up on, if I'm not correct. Correct me, certain shows and certain, you know, all these different things that are available. I mean, there's BritBox, there's Disney, there's Peacock, there's this, that, and the other, okay? And I don't have the time or the money. And I will tell you, there is some stuff I want to see, but when the Ricketts bought the Cubs, okay, and I used to go to the Wrigley Field for a dollar. Friday was Ladies' Day for a dollar, okay? And me and my mom would meet over there on certain seats. And it was empty, half empty. And it's become a cult. But you can't get a baseball game anymore for free, okay? You can't get it. If you don't buy Marquee Sports with them, you can't get a baseball game for the Cubs.
Right.
And it's coming to a point where what I want to mention was in about a year, maybe the end of the year, NFL, oh, baby, don't even think about it. They contracts will be up for CBS, NBC, and ABC. And good luck finding the football game. And guess what they've been talking about on the talk shows on WGN all week? How they're going, these people, I don't know why they're so crazy about the Bears, but look, how they're going to get the game on Friday.
Now, as you probably know, Tubby, the reason that you're not seeing these games for free, publicly available, usually has to do with the broadcast rights that the team is paid by the entity that's carrying the games. And so they can't go around that and provide it to you for free.
Right.
So that's why, well, I mean, that's why it's
saying,
there.
Baseball used to be the American pastime.
Of course. Well, you know, it also used to be affordable. Now, a family of four practically has to take out a second mortgage. That's why I like the AAA team so well. The minor leagues, you can still take the kids
and get a couple hot dogs.
Yeah, but nobody can afford to go to the games. I mean, it's all about the luxury boxes and all that. So the idea that it's America's pastime, America has been priced out of it for a long time.
And when you turn on even the news, I go back between BBM and WGN, and what I'm hearing is they won't even tell you where you can catch. I'm surprised. I got Monday Night Football on WBM, you know, broadcast. But like I'm going to tell you who broadcasts most is the Blackhawks. But if like tonight, I would have been nice. I would have taken DePaul or anybody.
Yeah.
But you can't get nothing. Look, you can't get Northwestern, you can't get a night game, any kind of sports, you know what I'm saying, to listen, just to have a game on. And you are correct. The AM, FM stuff, once you pass BBM and go to the right, there is nothing. It's like driving to the West Coast.
Yeah, well,
there's absolutely nothing.
It is a vast wasteland, unfortunately. And, of course, with the local games, you also get the problem of blackouts, where they're saying, well, you know, we won't allow it to be shown or heard locally because the game can be, attended. So there's so many things that keep it from easy reach to the fan that I worry about baseball especially because it was America's pastime, and now it's not because no one can afford that.
But think about, Riley, this is what I was thinking about. What if we didn't have just sports, okay? I'm like, serious. I used to be able to turn on TVs like at 11 and 12 and get college football on Saturdays as soon as it came out, and the season is over soon. But all of that's dissipating quickly because of this money thing that they're doing, okay? But also, you can go to different stations and they start this little sports show and they be talking to people and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But you just want, you know, you might turn on and an ice skating show might come on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to be really on it to find the sport that you want to see.
Well, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's so many choices that unless you're aware of what's out there, who's carrying it, and that you have a subscription to it, you don't get to see it. It's one of the reasons the sports bars do so well when people go there, because usually they've got dozens of screens with the games from everywhere. But for the average,
exactly.
You know, for the average person, if you had a team that you really wanted to follow, you would have to look up what network was carrying it, because no longer is it, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC. You've now got cable networks du jour. I mean, there's so many of them, I couldn't list them all. So finding them, and B, finding out what you have to do to be able to get them becomes quite the challenge.
Well, at 12 o'clock, the guy, he had a guest today who was talking about it more in depth, and I knew these NFL contracts were about to run out, so that when my TV was working, that I had the leisure of just turning on, you know, I had my Monday, Sunday,
right,
Thursday, and, you know, Sunday night football. All of that's about to be gone. And he was talking about go to Amazon. He said, if you go to Amazon Prime, and they made these different offers and stuff, but that was the best information I heard. And it is huge, it's vast. I was telling my friend tonight, I said, can you imagine the movies where they have all the different screens at the Space Center, all these different TV screens that they're following?
Yeah.
And that's what it's like. But he was talking about the different rates and how you could get this for that. I won't repeat what I just said. If they didn't get it, they didn't get it. But they were saying go to there on the internet, and you can pick up the best, you know. And these people are doing this, but I'm just, you know, first of all, I told her, I really don't have time.
You just want to be able to turn on your TV, and there it is. And sadly, those days are not coming back.
Right, and that's what I told you a long time ago. When I come in, I come in from the restaurant and I put you on, when I come in the door, you're there, except for them old, you know who, playing that game. I don't want to hear them play. But that's I hate that you get bumped like that. I ain't going to speak on that no more. But what I'm trying to say is, we didn't have these sports, okay? I just want to know. Now, I followed tennis for a long time, and we're talking 1968, I guess, when I worked in D.C., when I worked in Georgetown, was working for Ethel now. But the thing of it is, I pulled out one of my VHS tapes last night. I'm starting to go through them, and this was only a two-hour tape, unfortunately. But it was Venus and Serena at their first meeting at a Grand Slam. It was the Lipton Finals. I got tapes I didn't even know I had. Venus was 18 years old.
Wow.
And they were still in the stage of talking about how they're just what they have, what kind of Venus with the heart of serve and whatnot. I think about, it makes me think about Tiger Woods, and I think about all the other athletes, and, you know, I think, oh, well, if they didn't come along, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You might have had a chance when Tiger and Venus and Serena popped up. But it's just, I just want to tune in and just say, it's lovely to hear your show. I enjoyed the last segment. This Dale?
Yeah, Dale Secker.
Dale.
Yeah.
That was very nice. And I haven't had the leisure just turned on the show like I would like to. But it was very nice. I just want to wish you and your hubby a very happy season. Oh, one story I had. This was a positive energy story. I went to Oak Park, and sometimes I take Metro, sometimes I take the Montrose bus straight out to Harlem. But now when I'm in really a hurry, I just go on and go down to State Lake. I don't know how they get away with that train station down there, CTA. And it's like, I'm afraid somebody's going to fall on the tracks one day. It is so, the platform is so small, right? Anyway, I go that way. I go from a red line. Then when I get to the corner, then I have to walk up. And that's another one. You know, I have these pet peeves. Why are we still walking up to the platform at Staten Lake by the Chicago Theater in Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like O'Hare. When they put it, there's one escalator up and one escalator down.
Yeah.
But in New York City, coming out of the World Center, you had four escalators up and four down for the path.
Yeah.
It was, but I'm just saying, this stuff is amazing to me. The brains that are working and the brains that I work, and I guess that's the advantage of me living all over and doing different things, that I notice these things specifically. So I go up there, and it just gets me to Oak Park so much faster. And then I change for the Green Line and go straight to Harlem. That's about 14 minutes, maybe. So, you know, I don't know. So when I got out, when I got up out of the subway, this was the story. They had Marshall Fields, the old Marshall Fields, decorated like Macy's, 42nd Street. It was amazing to me because I knew 42nd Street. And I will tell you, the people were out, and I was so, the positive energy came that they were not letting the circumstances and the uncertainty of other situations in our lives today take over their frivolity. They had done the windows. The people had their kids, and they were dressed up in their holiday fair, and they were so excited. There were people taking pictures because we didn't have cell phones back then. They're taking pictures everywhere. State Street was booming, but it was a festive, very positive energy, and I really don't like the crowd thing, but I wanted to share that with you because it was something special for a change. Instead of just old, and I won't even talk about what's going on down there with the other park, the crime, but it was a positive energy moment.
So all right.
I want y'all to enjoy this holiday season.
Well, you too, Tubby. It's good to hear from you. We'll talk again soon.
Reap in all the positive energy you can.
All righty then. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Bye, James.
All right. So we will pick it up there. We have John. We got Natalie. We got you too, I hope, on WGN Radio.
Wasn't true, and you passed them by. Though you're in the center ring, and their lines don't mean a thing. Why don't you let me try?
Let me try.
Now I don't wear a diamond ring. I don't even know a song to sing. All I know is love.
WGN Radio, I'm Holly James. I say, rarely does the hit do it for me, but that does, absolutely. Late 1967, of course, the Delphonics, and I don't know where it was recorded. You know, a lot of people will say, well, that was recorded at Sigma. That's not possible, because Sigma wasn't open, actually wasn't even designed until 1968, and that was Joe Tarsia. And Joe Tarsia, as far as I'm concerned, was an engineering god. He worked for Cameo Parkway, and a lot of people said, oh yeah, the Cameo Parkway stuff, that was Sigma Sound. No, Sigma Sound came later. That was a little studio that Cameo Parkway had, and it just, man, that room sounded good. But before that, he was working in research at Philco Ford, and he was, you know, moonlighting at night at some little studio in South Philly, and then 62 he went to Cameo Parkway, and then 68 he designed Sigma Sound, and from that moment on, obviously Gamble and Huff and the South Cell Orchestra and MFSB and all that that kind of stuff, the Philly sound in general. And so that was the deal. Steele. In 77, he opened a Studio Sigma Sound in New York. And then before he died, actually, I think it was about 20 years before he died, he sold them both. But anyway, I don't know where it was recorded, but I do know it's just a terrific record. Yeah, my all-time favorite Delphonics as far as that goes. And that was Tom Bell and William Hart. And yeah, from the group, you betcha. And so number four on the Hot 100 and number two on the R&B charts. And there was an instrumental that Booker T and the MGs did on their Soul Limbo album. And believe it or not, if you have it, the Jackson 5 covered them on ABC. That was their album from 1970. And yeah, I think that Connie Stevens did a version. I know. Todd Rundgren did a version. Samantha sang. Who actually, her song Emotion was not bad at all, really. But Tierra covered it on Together Again. So gotta love Tierra. And others as well. I think the Manhattan Transfer even did it. So, yeah, great, great, great song. Yeah, all right. So glad Natalie thought of the Delphonics. All right, so John in Gilbert, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Natalie.
How are you?
Oh, doing good. How are you?
All right. So you're going to vote.
I have the ultimate turkey song for you.
Oh, you do? Okay. Let me get the list out front and center.
This is
so,
the ultimate. Even turkey okay. Isn't the name of the song.
Okay.
I'm talking about John Lennon's Cold Turkey.
Oh, God. Was that a hit?
Yeah, it charted.
Okay, well, I'll take it. Yeah, after all, it is John Lennon. Everybody knows who that is. But, oh, my God, I didn't even know that got much airplay.
Yeah, especially like the screaming and groaning at the end.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. I know. It does Yoko Ono proud after hearing that, really. So,
I think Yoko ran for the hills when she heard it.
Yeah, which is, you know, hard to imagine. But, yes, absolutely. So consider it on the list.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be the ultimate one. I mean, with turkey in the title.
right. Yes, right. Of course, Let's Turkey Trot has turkey in the title, too, and that's not half bad at all things considered. So
yeah, but there's no moaning in it.
Well, thank God. But I can't imagine Little Eva doing the moaning. But all right, yeah, but that makes me think about songs with turkey in the title. I never really thought of that. If there are more, well, of course, Turkey in the Straw, obviously, but that doesn't count. But
that's a folk song,
right? Exactly. There was some Bob Dylan thing, Tom Turkey. I don't know what it was. So yeah, and I don't want to know what it is. But nonetheless, yeah. All right. So I just looked it up. Five Fat Turkeys by the Kaboomers. I don't even want to know. All right. So consider it on the list, and thanks for the vote.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
All right, so now here's a little section that says the best songs with turkey in the title over 50 songs. Oh, God help us. Yeah, right, exactly. All right, of course, Cold Turkey, yes, and Wild Turkey, and all right, but I don't think there's anything that I'm on. Back Off Turkey? I don't want to know. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. The place that we lived in Hayden Lake in Iowa, in Idaho, looked over beautiful lake, obviously Hayden Lake, and a lot of wildlife. There were wild turkeys, but there were also bears. And you haven't lived until you'd hear that conversation. There's the turkeys gobbling. There's the bears returning with noises that really can't be described, at least not by me. And, yeah, that could go on for an hour. And I've often been wondering, what were they discussing? Territory, no doubt. All right, John is in Gilbert. Welcome to we just talked to John. I'm sorry. So goodbye, John. Now, let me... Jim is in Richmond. It's more going to do, but I think I have frozen the phones. So what else is due? Jim in Richmond. All right. Are you home? Jim. I'm not hearing anything. Well, hopefully Jim will call us back. And hopefully he's home. And we'll find out about the rest of his hospital adventure when he calls us back. But you have count 'em two tonight and tomorrow night. That's the final on the boats. And I've got them all. I was looking at them earlier. I could do a top 10, but there are some multi-way ties. And so I'm not going to tell you what, of course. And so it's up to you to call and vote for the things that you absolutely, absolutely hate. Getting tired of this every year? I know I am. But it's still our most requested feature, so I do it. And as long as you want me to do it, that's how long we'll do it. And I'm hoping that this year we'll reveal something new to the list. I'm not sure we're going to see anything new to the top 10, sadly. Although that could change tonight or tomorrow night, it could. But there were a couple additions that you don't hear very often on the list. So, all right, now we'll get back to Jim. He called back. He's got an update for us. He is at home. All right, and then Chris and Greenwood and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Always have and always will. There ain't no other kind of music in the world that gives me quite the thrill. When I hear 60-minute man and walking up a one-way street, he's up on the roof, he's under the boardwalk, summertime's a-calling me. Music. Beach music. I love beach music, 'cause I was born with it in my bones. I learned to shag on the beach with the salt in the air and the sand at my feet. Yeah. Miss Chris, 39, 21 for a shave. What kind of fool do you think I am? When forever and ever it will stand, yes, I love
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Embers here from 1979 on the E label. The flip side on one of those versions was I Love Budweiser. They had done a commercial. But the Embers go back to about 1960, but it's interesting because in one of the databases it said the group responsible for creating beach music, and I thought, you're a couple decades out of date on that, to say the least. Beach music been around as called beach music, certainly since the latter 1940s. All right, so Jim in Richmond has called back. Now we'll see if we can hear him. Can we hear you, Jim?
Hello, I'm here.
All right, so you're home. Tell me about it.
I just got home this evening, and it wasn't an easy test, but I have answers to your question.
Okay.
The stroke that I had was in my left frontal lobe.
Okay.
And exactly the same spot where I was having those severe headaches right above my left eye.
Right.
And so that was it. He said it was what type of stroke it was.
Was it ischemic?
That's it.
Right. It was ischemic. It wasn't a TIA. It was more serious than a TIA.
Right.
Okay.
And so that I got that answered to your question.
Yeah, all right.
And then the other stuff is they went really crazy today. They did an echocardiogram.
Right.
And my heart and everything. And then they did a bubble test.
Okay.
On my heart.
Right.
They said they were looking to see if there was a hole in my heart.
Okay.
And they went, you know, on and on like that. And then I had physical therapy and occupational therapy.
Good.
And most people said you were fantastic. They sent the speech therapist, and they said that I was talking great, but I still mess up words.
Well, that happens.
Right. And, you know, then that went on. And then the drama came when I couldn't urinate.
Well, that happens so, too.
Right. Things, you know, we're going to put the catheter back in. But I got around that and I got out of there.
Okay.
And stuff like that. But, they took my Libre 3 sensor off.
Okay.
And they weren't going to replace it. So we come home, and I put the one I had left at home, and I put that on. And then I spent the whole evening trying to get it to work. 1 minute it says it's working, 1 minute it says it's not working. So I don't know if that's working. And that you know, I'm going to have to call the Walmart pharmacy and beg them if they could sell me one for cash without the insurance.
Oh, they can, but they're pricey. They're pricey.
Well, right. And then there, I use single care to take some of the cost off.
Sure.
I did it once before.
But I'm not. Have they covered that? Because normally that's a Part B expense rather than a Part D expense, and they usually don't cover it.
Well, it's supposed to be covered by Social Security, but Humana is paying for it all along.
Well, it's supposed to be covered by Medicare B, yes. Okay.
Right. And then, so I'm working on that thing. But I drove everybody there nuts, and all the doctors, all the nurses, none of them heard of Charles-Bruner syndrome. And I have been going completely batty. Everywhere I turn, there's a image, and you know, from fire trucks in two big fire trucks in the room where I'm at, and all the way down to little gremlins and stuff like that, and it's just driving me crazy. I'm sitting there telling the doctor about it, and there's a 4 foot tall cartoon doctor sitting right next to him, giving him the peace sign. You know, and I said, you know, don't you see that? And he goes, there's nothing there. So I described the Charles-Bruner syndrome, and he goes, well, I don't know much about that.
Well, it's normal. All I knew about it was Brunet Wagner, but all I knew about it was that it happened in development. It was children. I didn't know it happened in adults.
Right, and I targeted it to where I had the stroke. So when I first had that thing, it was the very first time I had the pain above my eye. And we went to the emergency room, and they gave me a whole bunch of drops and a whole bunch of medicine because they didn't really know how to get the pressure down.
Yeah.
And then right from that start, that's when all this Charles-Bruner syndrome stuff started. And, you know, driving home, you know, there were dilapidated buildings on each side of the road in the middle of a cornfield and all that kind of stuff. So, but today it was the worst ever. You know, I just see them everywhere. And like I said, nobody knows about them, you know. So it just was frustrating.
Yeah, like I say, I haven't heard of it in adults, but let me ask you this. This is fascinating to me, by the way. When you're seeing these visions, how clear is your vision of it? Because normally you're having a lot of trouble seeing. When you're seeing these visions, is it clear and in focus?
Charlotte asked me that, too, and I said, these things are, you know, they're colorful, right, and they're as clear as day.
Okay.
I can't. If we were in the room, I couldn't tell you your facial expression, but I see these people, and right away, I can see their facial expression, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know, and then somebody giving, you know, taking, you know, grabby hands, you know, and putting them practically in front of my face when I'm sitting in a chair in the living room, and I turn to the right, and they're gone.
Yeah, all right.
And it's driving me crazy.
All right, I just looked this up while we're talking, and I was thinking of it being Brunet, like Brunet Wagner, but it's not. It's Charles Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T.
Bonnet. Okay, maybe that's why nobody knows.
That's right. It's Charles Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T, and it's where people with severe vision loss have hallucinations. They're often very complex images, patterns. It can be people, it can be animals. It is not a sign of mental illness. It does not mean that the eye condition is worsening. The hallucination are caused by the brain trying to make up for the lack of visual input from the eyes. So that's fascinating to me. And apparently there are techniques that can help manage the symptoms. And, you know, that's where I would talk to your eye doctors about it, but know that it's B-O-N-N-E. Charles Bonnet syndrome, and
like
bonnet, just like the word bonnet. Just like bonnet.
Okay.
And this is a common response from the brain. Now, for most people, over time, the hallucinations disappear. But it can take 18 months. And as I say, it's not. It doesn't really mean your eyesight is changing, that it's worsening or that it's getting better or anything. It's absolutely not related to that. It's a result of the brain. So it's not a symptom of the eye conditions. And so it's benign, but like you say, it is just, I can tell already, I haven't read some of, I've just pulled some of the literature and I'll read about it later, but I can see where it would really, you know, drive you kind of batty, but understand that it is not a problem.
Right, and I know it's in the brain because of the fact that it's so clear.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Yes.
And you know it's in the brain, like you say, because it's very clear. There's no cure. There's no really effective treatment, but they do have a number of techniques to help people manage that. I have. It makes all the sense in the world. I just haven't run into it before, so that's interesting to me, and I can't wait to read more about it. And we'll talk a little more with Jim about that. Then we got Chris in Greenwood. And Scott in Chicago is going to vote. All right, so he'll go to the head of the class after Jim. And then Dee Dee in St. Charles. I'm not 100% sure what she's doing, but she's doing something. So tonight and tomorrow night, that is it. I did get an email, and like I say, email only counts if I see them, so it's better that you call the show, but I try to see them. And that was from Faye. Hi, Faye. I put a spell on you by Screamin' Jay Hawkins, a fine addition. Consider it on the list. All right. So now nobody seconded it yet, but it is on the list. So we'll see how you do. We've got an hour more of this to go tonight, and I hope that you will join us right here on WGN Radio. The Times, an interesting record. Of course, Beach Music smashed, to say the least. Firstly, it was written by the people from Orleans. John Hall and his wife at the time, Joanna Hall, wrote that. And it was just huge for the Times, Beach Music, but also number one record in the UK. By comparison, the Times' big, big record, So In Love, later So Much In Love, same song. different label copy, wound up being number one in the U.S., couldn't chart in the U.K., so one of those weird twists. But boy, I'll tell you, in 74, this was just huge and terrific, too. But man, did nothing in the States. And again, beach music, yeah, smash. It did pretty well in Philadelphia, but got to about number 91 on the Hot 100 and not too much better on the soul chart. All right, 888-876-5593. Now, Dee Dee is a first-time caller, and hang on a minute to Jim, because Dee Dee has the exact same thing that you do. So, Dee Dee, thanks for waiting. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Raleigh.
Yeah, tell me all about it.
Well, I have what's called AION. Ischemic optic neuropathy.
Okay.
Non-anterior. And I have it in both eyes. I was listening, actually, I've listened to you for the past couple of years, never called in. I have it in both eyes. And the last gentleman is talking about the Charles Bonnet syndrome.
Yes.
And that is affected as adults with this disease. So my disease is technically classified as an optic nerve stroke.
Okay.
Unfortunately for me, I've had it in both eyes.
Whoa.
So as presently, I only have 15% vision.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I'm functioning. I'm doing fine.
Good.
I'm in Illinois, and fortunately for me, in Illinois, we have several agencies that can help people.
Right.
And there, people don't know about this. I manage myself. I went on Google, and I Googled forever and ever, and
right.
I found all these agencies.
Right.
At present, I have four agencies that help me get through this.
Oh, that's great.
And I would be happy to help people. I get nothing monetarily out of this.
Yeah, right.
I work with Hadley Institute for the Blind in Winnetka, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
I podcast with them. I volunteer my services. They're a wonderful group for people that need assistance.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's okay. We can get through this.
Well, good. Yes, this sounds great. And I guess if it's AION, the A is probably for anterior. It's in the front rather than the back of the nerve. And it's rare, yeah. but like you say, it happens. And usually for most people, it's absolutely rapid. Did this happen overnight pretty much for you?
In one eye, it happened in 2000. It happened like 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And that I was able to function.
Good.
I was still able to drive, and that was 6 years ago.
Okay.
The right eye happened 3 years ago, and I'm almost totally blind in that eye.
I'm so sorry.
And then I had to give up my business. I had to give up driving, my car. And, you know, I've had a life, though. Beyond that.
Right.
And, you know, people can get through this, but they need to have assistance. They need to be helping themselves.
Right. Absolutely.
And if back up to the Charles Bonnet syndrome, it's incredibly scary. When I had it, initially when I had it, they thought I had stroke. I was in the hospital for 5 days. Because I thought I was crazy and nuts.
Right, of course.
And it was, yeah, you know, you've seen these visions in front of you. It was incredibly scary. And I have an optic, neuro-optic.
Are you still there?
I haven't.
For a minute, you went away. So you were saying you have neuro?
Yeah, we broke. I have a neuro-ophthalmologist.
Good.
at the Wheaton Eye Clinic in Wheaton, Illinois.
Sure.
He is fantastic. And then I have all these other agencies. I work with Spectrios Institute in Wheaton, Illinois, and they're awesome. You know, there are so many agencies out there that can help people in Illinois. I can't speak for any other town or country or city, but I've done this on my own.
Which is great, very laudable. I'm glad you told me about Hadley because I was unaware that they were there, and I definitely want to pass that on to Jim because apparently they help people throughout the country, so it's not just Illinois and not just Winnetka, but yeah. It's virtually everywhere, and they rely on charitable donations, so I think some of these services might be at no cost or low cost to Jim.
Yeah, and I just finished my second podcast with Hadley. And the second podcast was really fun. It was all about cooking when you have less vision or when you're legally blind.
Right.
And I am legally blind. So it was a lighthearted podcast. The first podcast was how I've managed to get through and giving up all that I was used to having right. in my life. And, you know, how do you get into an Uber when you can't see?
Right.
So, yeah.
No, that's great. I just looked at this online, and I guess founded in 1920 by William Hadley, an educator, lost his eyesight later. They offer practical help, connection, and support free of charge to anyone with a visual impairment, their families, and professionals supporting them. So that's wonderful. They relaunched in 2020. They've helped since then over 100,000 in the Hadley community, and their workshops have a 98% satisfaction rate. That's terrific. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And also, Hadley has what's called Sights and Sounds. And that you can just register online. And I'm not sure exactly, but I'm assuming it's like once a month
okay. That
they offer you that email. And it's so fun. And that's what I was on.
Okay.
And some of it is really insightful. It's about travel. It's about food, it's about whatever. And you can register online on Hadley.
Yeah.
I think it's Hadley. I believe it's Hadley.org.
Actually, it's HadleyHelps.org.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, HadleyHelps.org. And it looks terrific. Yeah, that's a great resource. I don't know how we missed them, but this is the first time I've heard of them.
No, they're a wonderful group of people. I've done podcasts. I've done Zoom with them. They have support groups. I can't say enough about them. And again, I get nothing out of it.
Right. No, that's great.
My new job in this world is to help people.
Well, you are. They're alone because I'm looking at this, and I think it's going to be very helpful. So I'm so glad you called, and I sure hope you're going to do it again.
Thank you. I appreciate everything you do for all of us out there.
Okay, great to hear from you. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, bye.
All right, so that's absolutely great information. And I'm looking at the site now, and I'm very impressed by that. So, okay, Jim, you heard it. So,
HadleyHelps.com.
.org, not .com.
.org.
HadleyHelps.org. Yeah, this looks really, really good. And there's a number of different things, including using your phone without reading the screen and, organizing your kitchen with vision loss and all the other things. So there's a number of things here that look really good, and it's no cost.
Right. And that sounds great. And I will also bring it up because I see my retina specialist on the 3rd, and I'm going to bring this up because he's the very first one that told me what I had.
Right.
So I'm going to see what he knows, and I'm going to demand an answer.
Well, I think we kind of know what this is. Sadly, there's not going to be a cure. It does abate over time, they say, but just knowing what it is should make you feel a little better because otherwise you think you're going crazy.
I am going crazy, and nobody, my friend Sharati, she told me today, have fun with it. you know?
Well,
and then that's, how can you,
it's
you know,
easy to say, but it's hard to do.
Right.
No, I understand
right.
that. Yeah, yeah. Some of the things that I face, John will say all the time, you know, people pay good money to see this, feel like this and all that. But yeah, but it's not not so fun when it's you. So I get that. And absolutely, this is real in terms of the condition, but what you're seeing is not real. So now, sometimes rest, relaxation, things like that can help, because fatigue and stress make it worse.
Well, in the hospital, I don't sleep.
Yeah,
and
nobody
actually,
else. Right.
Last night,
nobody else does.
Actually,
either.
Right. Actually, last night I had a bunch of small catnaps.
Yeah.
And not, you know, it didn't disappear.
Yeah.
Now, waiting to get on your show, I dozed off. And now I'm sitting in my kitchen looking in the living room, and I don't see anything right now.
Good.
And but I'm hoping that, you know, it stays the same, because I just closed my eyes and then there was a stick figure person in front of my face on a piece of paper, but
keep,
stuff like that.
Keep listening, because David in DeKalb is hanging on there, and he says he has it too. So we'll find out what he's got to say as well. So, yeah, good luck, and don't, hard as it is to say, don't worry.
I have one other thing.
Yes.
They gave me a heart monitor after the echocardiogram.
Yes. Right.
It is 1 inch thick,
right.
1 inch wide, and 3 inches long, and it's glued to the front of my chest, right under my chin.
It's probably a halter. It's probably a halter monitor.
It's called a halter, but
yeah,
I have to carry a cell phone.
Right. I'm well aware of halter monitors. Yes.
Okay. So he tells me, the nurses at the end tell me, okay, you wear this for 30 days.
Okay.
And then, you know, the instructions tell you what to do with it. And then you, there's one in the box. You take one off, put the other one on, charge it, and put it back on and stuff. So I said, okay. And then she says, then you, I think she said you turn it in or you go see your cardiologist.
Right.
Well, my cardiologist is February 13th. So she said, oh, you're going to have to wear it all the way to February 13th.
I don't know about that.
I said, no, I'm not. If I have to go see him, I'm going to call him.
Right,
and
you're not. Yeah, exactly.
Within 30 days.
Now, they probably told you stay away from magnets, avoid electrical wires, steer clear of metal detectors, keep your cellular phone.
They never said anything
like that. Oh, well, those are all there. Keep your cellular phones at least 6 inches away. You know, there's several things that you want to do with these things, and there's a few different types as well. But so some are water resistant, they'd tell you if they were, so that you could shower and all that. You don't want to take you don't want to take a bath, but others are not water resistant, so you want to know what you've got.
Right.
And they should have given you all the FAQs, because there's several of them.
Well, they gave me a big box with instructions and a charger and everything, and it was just trying to get out of there. It was so stressful.
Right.
And she's preparing the turkey for her family of 30,
all
you
right.
know, and and we're going to get that done. And then we've already come up with an idea of get one of those waterproof patches, you know, clear patches to put over it, because we don't trust them either. They said you could shower in it, you know, but I don't trust them.
You probably can, just don't take a bath in it. But halters are common. Some people, ZIOs are common too, ZIO. So I've seen a lot of that too. All right, good deal. Well, keep listening.
Thank you and all your listeners.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
I'll be listening.
Okay, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it, Jim. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to David in DeKalb in a moment. Find out what he's seeing or not coming up on WGN Radio.
Mr. Salesman, quit bending my ear. Don't need your pots or your pails, man, 'cause the lady of the house ain't here. Don't show me your brushes.
PGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Steve Alamo. Indeed, yeah. While he was busy doing Where the Action Is, he was recording an M.O.R. album, yeah, Sings and Swings. But that was on it, and Budlow and Felice Bryant wrote it, Lady of the House. I always kind of liked it. So that's why I played it, mostly because I couldn't find anything else. So that seemed interesting for the moment. So we'll get to David in DeKalb here, find out about his experience with Charles Benet. And we've got everybody else hanging in there, and I promise not to talk so much so all of you can do the talking coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, if your hands start to clapping and your fingers start to popping and your feet start to moving around, and if you start to swing and sway when a band starts to play a real cool and way out sound, and if you get the can't help it and you can't sit down, you feel like you gotta move around.
Need a shot of rhythm and blues.
Well, just a little rock and roll on the side, just for good measure.
Need a pair of dancing shoes.
With your lover by your side, then you know you're gonna have a lot of pleasure. Don't you worry about a thing. If you start to dance and sing, and chill bumps come up on you. And when that rhythm finally hits you, and the beat gets you too, well, here's the thing for you to do.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. A shot of rhythm and blues. And that's Arthur Alexander. Actually, it was the flip side of You Better Move On, and nobody heard it in America, but it became just an absolute fave of all the British invasion bands who did it routinely. Interesting, Arthur Alexander, who wrote so many wonderful things, didn't write that. He wrote the other side, You Better Move On, but it was Terry Thompson. And Terry was interesting because he was one of the guys in Florence, Alabama, who was part of the studio musician groups, Donnie Fritz and Jerry Carrigan, what a drummer, Norbert Putnam, Rick Hall, you know, all that. And so he was very much a part of that and played on A Shot of Rhythm and Blues as well. Yeah, if you look for old Beatles tapes, you'll find that even they covered it. Sadly, we didn't hear more from Terry because he died in about 1965. So I'm sure we would have heard a lot more, but that was it. But he was playing on a lot of sessions at Fame, Rick Hall's studio. All right, so 888-876-5593 is taking us to David in DeKalb, who also has Charles Benet syndrome. And okay, David, tell me what you know.
Hello, Raleigh. First, I want to second what that woman said about Hadley. That is a great organization. And if Jim gets emails, like that woman said, they send out emails quite frequently. And with each one, they'll have someone talking about anything vision loss, like, you know, what to do about Christmas cards, I think was one recently, and so on and so forth. And then they have classes that you can also take through them. So All Things Vision, it's a great organization.
Great.
As far as the Charles Benet syndrome, excuse me, two examples and then my own. A good friend of mine who's in his 70s, losing his eyesight from macular degeneration, was riding with his wife when all of a sudden they were sitting at a light, and he started screaming and reaching for the door handle because he saw a semi coming at them.
Uh-huh.
There was no truck there.
Right.
And then a good friend of mine, a woman, was shopping with her daughter. She is losing her eyesight from retinitis pigmentosa.
Mm.
The daughter was pulling the cart. Karen was on the handle when all of a sudden a woman's face appeared within an inch of hers and just said, hi. And Karen let go, fell back on the floor. There was no woman there. It couldn't be. The cart was there.
Right.
And then with mine, very different in that, first of all, I used to own a small trucking company and then lost my eyesight due to an accident with a drunk driver. Thank you, but I've had some of the most amazing things happen to me as a direct result of losing my eyesight. So no anger, no depression. I wouldn't mind having it back, though.
Right.
And So slow loss of eyesight. Hearing all these stories, I thought, you know, somehow maybe I bypassed it or wasn't anything that was going to bother me. And the year that the Hurricane Helen hit the southeast, I was getting ready to do the Chicago Triathlon, which I do every year. But just a week or so before that, I started seeing an extremely bright light. And it didn't matter whether my eyes were open or closed. It was there. So I couldn't sleep. It didn't seem like it would be a good thing for me to get on the back of a tandem and, you know, haul tail because, you know, we lean into those turns and there's a lot of twists and turns and that. So that's the first race I've ever pulled out of. But then at the end of September, I did Ironman Chattanooga. And the reason I remember Helen is because Tennessee River was so swollen that they wouldn't allow us to swim. But we did the bike, and we flew. That was the best bike ride I've ever done. We averaged 20 miles an hour.
Wow.
But when I got on the run, that Charles-Bonnet syndrome kicked in again.
Oh, no.
And it just kept coming and going. It didn't matter whether we were running or walking through portions of it. There was no rhyme or reason. I was trying to figure out why we were in the middle of that, you know, what I could do to control it. But it did subside. And now occasionally I'll see, you know, not quite as bright a light, but it seems to be only at night. I ran the Chicago Marathon and the Marine Corps Marathon, and those are in the daytime. Yeah, absolutely no problems with it. So it will go away.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And it's got to be scary before you know what it is. But once you do, you kind of put it in perspective.
Yes, exactly.
Well, great. So, you sound like you're doing marvelously, and I'm thrilled to hear that.
Well, I got mixed in with the wrong people. I got mixed in with a lot of blind and visually impaired athletes that, you know, any excuse I had for not being able to run marathons or do triathlons just went out the window. And there's just a lot of them out there, just phenomenal athletes and just incredibly supportive people.
That's great. So, excellent. Yeah. Well, keep it up and call me again.
You betcha.
All right. Bye. Thanks. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593. We've got Mike in Rapid City, South Dakota. Hello, Mike. What's up?
I got a couple for your turkey list and a couple requests.
Well, let's hear the turkey list. What you got?
John Denver, Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
All right.
Eagles, Take It to the Limit.
Okay.
I just say Take It Away.
Right.
Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart.
Right.
I've only listened to that twice, and once was on your show, and once was under compulsion.
Oh, that's funny. Most people hate it because they were force-fed it too many times.
Well, it was just, it would come on the radio, and I would hit the button or turn it off or something.
Yeah.
And I was working, replacing a school intercom, and the main control phone was on the secretary's desk, and any school, the lady that sits at the desk in front of the office, you know, knows who's who and what's what and what's going on. You need to be good with them. She loved it, and she hated the new intercom. I was under the desk wiring it up, and it came on, and, you know, I didn't want to ask her to
turn that off right now. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, and then my requests. Many moons ago, you said Buddy Holly's Rave On was inspired by Carl Perkins' Dixie Fried.
Right.
And I would like to hear that.
Oh, it's one of my favorite records. I'll be happy to play it.
Yeah. And okay. I think Carl Perkins, I think he got a bad deal. They were in a traffic accident, and but I think he was a better singer and songwriter than Elvis. But
life is funny as far as that goes. But yeah, and that was That was 56. I think it was by Wilmington, Delaware, and he was on his way to New York City. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But looking at him, Elvis had a look, and that was part of it, too. And so there were so many facets. And timing is everything also. You know, to me, Hound Dog will always be Big Mama Thornton. But a few people got to hear it by Big Mama Thornton. So it became very popular by Elvis and everything else. But fortunately, Carl Perkins is known as a rockabilly giant, and people do talk about his time at Sun. So it's not like he's completely obscure. You know, let's face it, he's the king of rockabilly. But I agree that that there could have been a lot more. And, you know, but hey, he left us with Dixie Fried, and I just love it. So I'll play it for you next.
Okay, and the other one I'd like to hear sometime. I haven't heard him for like 50 years. I used to watch him on TV. Andy Fairweather Lowe.
Oh, Spider Jivin'? Spider Jivin'?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that song. Okay,
yeah.
I'll definitely do it. That'll probably be tomorrow night. I've only got one bumper left, but I'll play Spider Jivin' for you tomorrow night.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so good choices for Mike from Rapid City. I should write that down so we know who requested what. Let's see, from Rapid City. Okay, got that. And now, actually, let's hear Dixie Fried next, right here on WGN Radio.
His coat said the night is short. He reached in his pocket and he flashed a quart and hollered, "Rave on, children, I'm with you. Rave on, cats," he cried. "It's almost dawn and the cops are gone and let's all get Dixie Fried." Now Ben got happy and he started raving. He jerked out his razor but he wasn't shaving. And all the cats knew to jump and hop, but he was born and raised in a butcher shop. He hollered, "Rave on, children, I'm with ya. Rave on, cats and cry. It's almost dawn and the cops are gone and let's all get Dixie Fried." Started to shout, they all ran in to see what it was about. And I heard him holler when they led him away. He turned his head and this is what he had to say. Hollered, "Rave on, children, I'm with you. Rave on, cats," he cried. "It's almost dawn and the cops are gone. Let's all get Dixie Fried. Get right." He let us all know he wouldn't scare
us. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and that is Dixie Fried, which is the flip side, actually, of a record that was written by Wanda Ballman. And, what is it? I'm Sorry, I'm Not Sorry. And that's the A side. And she was actually, when she pitched that record, working as a disc jockey in Denver in 1956-57. But the flip side, which Carl Perkins co-wrote, Dixie Fried, was the one that did it for me. All right, so 888-876-5593. Scott in Chicago, are you still with us?
Yes.
All right, and you're going to vote on the world's worst hit records. Oh, good, I want to hear every one of them.
People by Barbara Streisand.
Oh, good, 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 good. Moving up the charts.
Yesterday by the Beatles.
All right.
Loving You by Minnie Riperton.
Uh-huh. Good.
Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Uh-huh. Good, good, good.
And When I Die, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Oh, all right. As opposed to When I Die by Motherlode. Okay. All right.
And only Gladys Knight's version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Okay. Very good.
And that's it.
Wonderful choices. Thank
Great
you.
Great show, Riley. Thank
right.
you.
Appreciate it. All right. So got them all. 888-876-5593. Now, I don't think People is going to be that big this year. We'll see. Maybe if you hate it, by all means, please get in here and vote. But we do have a couple Barbara Streisand that, I think if I added them together, it'd be number one. But two of them are up there. Yeah. All right. So if you hate them, let us know. All right, so Eduardo's got some turkeys in Tampa. What you got? Eduardo. We lost Eduardo? Eduardo gave up the ghost? Well, there's always tomorrow night. Now, speaking of tomorrow night, let me look at something for a moment. Then we'll get to Chris here in Greenwood, South Carolina. But I wanted to take a look at the WGN radio schedule to find out about tomorrow night's show, because it's like partially preempted, I think. So let's see what the deal is. Oh, it's very much preempted, well, at least the first hour. I'll be on at 11 Central after the Blackhawks and Minnesota. And then Thursday, I probably won't be on until 11:45 Central. And that's after Northwestern basketball. And, of course, Northwestern basketball, that's not quite as predictable. So that could be any time. So, all right. So this is your last... wait a minute. That's Thanksgiving Day. Oh, this is a travesty. This is the first time I've looked at this, obviously. All right. So after Northwestern, whenever that ends, on Thanksgiving, that is when we will start to count down the world's worst hit records as voted on by you. I did not realize this. All right, so I guess I have to adjust, and I can do that. All right, so 888-876-5593. Glad I looked at that. Chris in Greenwood, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley, how's it going?
You tell me.
Just getting ready for Turkey Day.
Yeah,
Are
boy.
Are you ready for Turkey?
Well, for me, getting ready for Turkey Day means tabulating the world's worst hit records.
Oh, yeah. Here's one thing about Thanksgiving.
Yeah?
You know, you be with your family and your friends, and when you get to the table, some people don't get along and they have brawls.
Well, of course. That's why we do the world's worst hit records. When you're sick of your family, you can listen to the radio and have a good time.
Oh, yeah. You ever heard on the line, the Psycho Kid ruins Thanksgiving?
No.
Nugget is a censored version.
Oh. No.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll look.
If you like to play it.
I don't know. All right.
What are your plans for Thanksgiving?
Well, that's it. I'll be on the air live after the game doing the world's worst hit records. Those are my plans.
Oh, yeah, but you know, the NFL going to take over Thanksgiving.
Well, probably so, but on WGN it will be the Northwestern Wildcats.
Yeah, and I hope my Dallas Cowboys beat the Kansas City Chiefs because I'm tired of Taylor Swift.
Well, I don't know. That's a little love story that doesn't seem to want to die, so I don't know.
I hope that love story don't take over the NFL, because if it does, then the NFL going to lose a lot of money on it.
Well, I think it'll be fine as far as that goes. I think the NFL will be just fine.
Yeah, what about college football? Will it be just fine?
Well, I don't know. I have not been keeping up with it, so I don't even know who's playing.
So speaking of that, Clemson and USC, the Game Chickens, they're going to play this Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to it tailgate.
All right. Well, you'll be on the side of Clemson, I'm sure, and I'll be on the side of USC. Being from Los Angeles originally. So we will see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the Gamecocks or the Game Chickens, not U.S. like California.
Oh. Well, then I don't care. Okay. However it comes out is fine with me. All right.
Yeah. I love Don Munson when he does the play-by-play for Clemson.
Yep.
And I also want a free turkey on the radio Monday on WCZZ.
Good. That's always good.
Yeah, and I got a free turkey, but they didn't throw it like the helicopter from WKRP.
Well, neither did they. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, very good. Excellent. So have a wonderful time.
One more. Thank you. And can I request a song?
Yes, you can.
It's
what is it? What do you want? What do you want to hear?
the Krispy Kreme song, I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut.
I don't know this song. I'll look for it. I'm a donut.
Yeah. Yeah, it's from Krispy Kreme, donut theme song.
All right. All right. I'll look for that for you. You betcha I will. Probably someone will vote on it for the world's worst hit record, though it wasn't a hit. All right. Good deal. You've pretty much ended the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Playing those jingles for the holidays.
All right. So now, closing out the show, we have 2 minutes left, and I believe that Linda in Richland Park is going to vote on the world's worst hit. So, Linda, what you got for me?
Caledonia Wouldn't Make Your Big Head So Hard.
Oh, Caledonia.
And Tutti Frutti.
All right.
Yeah, Tutti Frutti on the Rudy.
Tutti Frutti, okay. All right.
Uh-huh. Those are the two.
Well,
and I'm going to open up for someone else if it's anybody else available.
Nope, we'll do it tomorrow night. But you've got your little Richard in, and any particular version of Caledonia that you like better or hate more than others?
Well, is there a song I hate worse than that? Yes, but I can't think of it.
No, I mean, which artist? A lot of people have done Caledonia. Which one do you like the least?
The original one.
Oh, all right. The original. Absolutely. All right. You got
the one
it.
A long time ago that made Caledonia. Wasn't it? I don't even know who wrote the song.
I don't know who wrote it either, but the guy who did it was, why can't I think of his name right now? It was Louis Jordan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was
a crazy song. Yeah, we used to laugh at that one. Then my another song I don't like is Boom, 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 Boom.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to knock you right down.
Right, John Lee Hooker. Yeah, Louis Jordan wrote Caledonia. All right, so I looked it up.
Okay.
Louis Jordan, that's the original. And Boom, 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 okay, we'll play that. We'll vote for that. Don't like that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you don't
not
like
really.
It.
I don't like it, but, you know, I guess that was some type of love song that lady sang. I love you so, you know, I'm just shoot you on down. Hey. That was just crazy.
All right.
I look at people singing the song, and they just loved it, you know.
John Lee Hooker, Boom, Boom, Boom. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, consider it on the list.
Ones I could think of.
Well, that's all good.
All right,
think of something else. Call me tomorrow night. Okay, bye.
Will do. Bye-bye.
So that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, you know the deal. I thank you for calling. So we'll do it tomorrow night, and that will be after the Blackhawks, probably at 11 instead of 10 Central. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.